Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Man's Voice here on this 1st of March. Hoping that for those that are listening, weather in your area is getting to be better than it has been everywhere else. But as we get together today, I have right now on my panel two members. The others will probably bounce in. One of our members is just getting out of the hospital, so we send our affectionate prayers to Ron. I know he has a good following, so those that like Ron, say a prayer or something for him, because he had some heart issues and he's feeling better. He got out today, but I did talk to him. So hello guys, how are you doing? It's Bruce and Jeremiah. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing fine.
Doing fine.
You know, one of the things that seems to be on everybody's minds right now is the coronavirus. And I don't know if I'm saying that right, because Corona is a beer, and I've heard people say they don't want a virus named after a beer. But anyway, what most people don't know is, how do you get that virus? Why is it so bad? One of the things, Italy is now asking, you know, they just claim a large number of people that have it. But most people don't understand, because the CDC is saying the mask that everybody are buying isn't doing any good. So if I can get this to run, it's about a 5-minute piece from the a doctor who's going to explain to us what the coronavirus is, how do you get it, how do you not, how do you do the best so that you don't get it. Let me see if I can get this going. So guys, just hold on while we play this, and we'll come back as soon as this is over. Because I want especially men to understand what they should be telling their families. Let's see if we can get it here going.
So we need to get the facts straight. How does this virus work? How does it transmit? Where does it want to go? And let's protect ourselves. I'm Dr. Peter Lin. I'm a family physician in Toronto, Canada. The coronavirus is a family of viruses that can cause as mild things as just a common cold, all the way up to SARS or MERS, these are these bad pneumonias that we're talking about. And basically what these viruses are, they look like a tennis ball with all these spikes sticking out of it. And depending on the type of spike, it allows that virus to attach to certain places. So some viruses, they have the spike that attaches to your nose. So basically you just get a common cold. But the SARS virus, and this new virus that we're talking about, has the spike that allows it to attach to the cell in your lung. And when it attaches there, it puts in information to make photocopies of itself. So it uses our equipment to make more viruses.
I'm declaring a public health emergency of national concern over the global outbreak of novel coronavirus.
Most of the coronaviruses live in animals. In this particular case, it was from Wuhan. There was a fish market where they were selling live animals. And the thought is that the virus was in a live animal, then it crossed into a human. But then what we found was that people were getting sick in terms of healthcare workers, in terms of family members that were looking after them, which now meant that the virus could pass from human to another human. Just like all viruses, it needs to reach a target, which is your lung. And it has to get there with your help. It has no feet and no wings. So therefore, it needs us to move it there. So that's why we keep saying, don't hang around sneaky people, because you're going to breathe it in. And don't touch your face, because that's how the virus is going to get it. The masks are helpful, but they're not necessary, because they're leaky. The ones that you and I buy basically have pockets here, so therefore the virus can get in. What the masks really do is they stop us from touching our face. If you're sick, we tend to mask you, so therefore you're not spewing out the viruses to other people sitting around you. The true people that have the real masks are the N95. Those are sealed. These are for the doctors that may be caring for their patients. So in the beginning, the coronavirus will cause kind of like flu-like symptoms or a cold. So people just get the stuffy nose, that kind of thing. But you'll understand that as soon as that virus starts manufacturing in your lung cell, they're producing all these copies of the virus, all of a sudden now you kill the lung cell. Now you can't exchange oxygen. And that's why one of the early symptoms is people get very short of breath and they tend to have a difficult time breathing. And that's why they end up in hospital. So currently, unfortunately, we don't have a direct treatment for the coronavirus. So we don't have a medication that can kill it off. And so it's really supportive. So in other words, the patient can't breathe. We give them oxygen, help them to breathe. They can't drink, so therefore we give them. Their kidneys begin to shut down. We help them with all those things. So it's a very supportive process. This is a new virus that we've never seen before. So our immune system, our army, are having a hard time figuring out what to do. So usually what we have to do is we make something called antibodies. So these are things that can grab onto the spikes that we see on the virus, and it'll get rid of the virus for you. And that will actually bring you back to good health. So therefore, the elderly may have a worse outcome. And of course, the young children, so the babies, their immune system is not so good either. So they may not make those antibodies as well. So just remember, your hands may be with virus. The virus cannot hurt you because it can't get through the skin. But the moment I do this, now I've brought the virus right to where it wants to go. So let's remember not to touch our hands to our face. So let's say you think that you might have been on a plane or you might have bumped into somebody that has it. What should you do? So the first thing is to contact a healthcare worker to tell them that potentially you have it. If you're feeling symptoms and you're going to go into a facility, call ahead. Okay. So whether you're calling the paramedic or whether you're calling the hospital or your doctor, just mention that you were on a flight. If you don't have any symptoms, then what we do is a little bit of a self-quarantine. In other words, we can just keep you away from other people, and so you don't go in parties, don't go with your friends, don't go into public transportation. So we can contain it very easily by making sure that it was self-confinement, so to speak, for the, let's say, 7 to 14 days is the longest incubation time. So after that, if you're feeling well, then you don't have anything to worry about. If we get the facts right, then we don't have to be overly worried, but we do the right things so that we don't get the virus ourselves and that we don't pass it on to others. And if we look after each other in this way, this virus will have nowhere to go. It needs us to move it. It needs us to make copies for it. And if we don't help it, then the virus will stop. So we have the power to do that right now.
All right. What did you get out of that, Bruce?
One of the things that I think a lot of people were confused about was the purpose of wearing some sort of a mask. And he explained that. So I'd heard that recently, but you'd be surprised how many people don't understand. It's to protect you if you're sick from spreading it to others, not the other way around. It does not protect you from others. Not really. So I learned that. And I've seen pictures of that nasty little virus schematic about a cannonball with spikes on it. That's pretty much what it looks like. But this idea that the importance of not touching your face, the doctor explaining that it needs some kind of way to get to your face so it can get into your body and so forth, about not touching your face really cuts down on you catching it. I think that's very important. And the mask, if you wear one, basically keeps you from touching your face in a lot of regards. So that's something new. I did not know, and I was I thought that was quite informative. If you listen to it carefully, about something we need to be careful with.
Right. One of the things that he said that I found amazing is the masks that they're selling in the stores that everybody's wearing are useless from spreading it because you have the pockets on the side that go out.
Right.
But what that really is protect you from yourself because you get it on your hands and you touch your nose, because the virus builds up in your lungs and that's where it causes the problems. So if you don't touch your nose and mouth, you're probably not going to breathe it in. So the mask is good for that. But there was the N95 mask and there are pictures of it. And that's the ones that the doctors wear that actually close off the side so that you don't have that side there. One of the other things that I found interesting is young children and the elderly are the most susceptible to this virus. I know that we've now had it in the United States, 8 cases in Washington state, and it seems to be moving all over. I mean, all of the different countries are now coming up with this virus, so it's something spreading very quickly. And so I think we all, as fathers, have to be concerned about how, you know, what we should be telling our families. And one of them is, wash your hands. I think we all should look at, because we've heard over years about washing hands. That was the most, you know, doctors always wash their hands, you know. And so I think it's something that we need to emphasize to our family. The patients in Washington State, they have no related travel history or no known exposure. So it's out there without having to, because I do know a person who was driving Uber, was picking up people from the airport, and now is very sick and is very concerned that they might have picked this up. So it is a virus that's out in the wind. It's out in the air. So if you're around somebody who's sneezing and coughing a lot, it's best for you to try to get away and then go wash your hands. Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on what you heard?
It's very informative. He gave some great facts and guidelines that we should follow and think about as far as restricting our loved ones from catching this virus. I knew a few facts that he already spoke of, but I think everyone should take the time out to do their homework in reference to this virus, whether or not you live in Cali or Washington or Georgia or Florida, take your time out to become notified of such virus.
One of the things is, I think we as men don't wash our hands as much as we now should because we're not in that area. I think a lot of females prepare dinner and do other things, so they're close to sinks and they are used to washing their hands more than men because we're not near, in our days, we're not really, unless we use the restroom, we're not really near sinks. Whereas I think for a lot of females, they, their daily activities bring them for that area to wash their hands and things like that. So we as men have to make sure that our sons and our brothers and fathers, you know, hear from us. You need to wash your hands more while this virus is out there. Because what one of the things he said is there's no cure for this. They have not come up with anything to help it, to help get rid of it. There's no antibiotic for it. It's important. Darius, I see you're on the line. What are your thoughts?
I thought it was very important. I really appreciate you letting us hear that. But I also thought it was important, and I had heard this before, but it was important that he touched on the fact that if, you know, pretty much if you're healthy, you know, and younger, you know, you have a good chance of fighting off this virus, like you can beat it. It's, and a lot of the reports I've heard so far, you know, they've been so fatalistic, like, oh, as soon as you contract it, you know, you got hours or whatever, and you're going to die and drop dead on the street. So I think it's important that while we practice caution, that we don't cause panic. And so I thought he did a good job on being informative without causing panic at the same time.
Right, because he did say you got 7 to 14 days, which is the incubation time, to kind of try to get rid of it, which I, in my mind, am saying that's about the time it takes for a cold or a flu or something, you know, 7 to 14 days, and you should be over it. So it's not something that your body is trying to fight it. He did not say that your body couldn't fight this. He said that, you know, it's in your system and the best thing to do is keep washing your hands and things like that. Well, it's out there. It's very dangerous and it's moving across, you know, moving across the United States, it's moving around the world because I know that Italy, I know that the, some of the other countries, have all decided that they were going to send out all kinds of criteria for the people in terms of what they should be doing if they're catching it. I'm looking at people dialing in. That's why I'm doing this a little bit. But, all right.
David?
Yeah.
On that subject, too, I just heard this afternoon that they've had the first recorded death in the United States from the virus.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but have you heard that?
Yes, in Washington.
Yeah, they did. They had the first recorded. This is Michael. Yeah, the first recorded death in the United States today.
Well, and here's another thing, in my opinion, where the media of all types and of all statures could be a leader here. Just a few things that the four of us have just talked about. You're not hearing. They could say, this is what we know right now. We don't profess to know everything, but this is what we know right now. And they could explain to a public that's nervous about what and how, when and where, and masks and no masks and the incubation period. We're not hearing that. All we're hearing about is the statistics. So the little bit we've talked about right here is more informative to anybody that's listened to us than that they're going to get from the national news. And that's crazy.
I totally agree with that. I agree that America needs to be the leader in regards to this one. But it starts at the top. I mean, look at who our leader is. It's time for our leader to start being a leader and taking the bull by the horns with this one.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that, but I would also add they don't need permission from any president to inform. And they tend to hesitate on either side. So just, you know, get the information out to us. I don't know why they're not doing it, but they don't seem to be.
That's true. And maybe it's because they don't know. I don't know what we would need. I don't know why they're not, but my understanding in my mind is they're probably saying it's going to cause a mass panic. And I think politicians are afraid that this is an election time to cause a mass panic. I don't know if that's good or bad. What are your thoughts on that, Darius?
Well, it's definitely been politicized. We've had somebody try to inject that in there just then. And what we have to do is we have to all be on the same page where it's not a political thing. This is something about us. This is an opportunity on both sides for America to come together and say, hey, let's band together, let's do whatever it takes in order for us to defeat this thing. And I think anybody who criticizes either party, if they're going to do that, then they should be prepared to come with an opinion or, you know, something different than what's already being done. You know, like it's a lot to say, oh, this guy isn't doing enough, or this guy isn't asking for enough money, or Congress isn't giving enough funding. Or it's okay to say all of those things. Okay, so then what's your plan? How do you stop this? And right now, I think on both sides, I think everybody's doing as much as they can. But the worst thing you can do is politicize it, because that's what's continuing to stoke fears in people and doubt and worry. And, you know, to use this as a political pawn, I think makes you the lowest of the low human element. I even heard somebody say on the news, well, I think this is a great opening for this party. I'm not going to name the party, but this use this crisis as an occasion to be an opening for this political party. I'm like, how senseless, how insensitive can you be? We're talking about the lives of people all around the world, and you have the audacity to come on national TV, a well-known network, and say that this crisis is an opening for your political party. It's tragic. It's very sad.
That's true. All right. Anybody want to have anything else to say on this subject? We're going to move on. So this is Women's History Month. Today is March 1st. It begins Women's History Month. And like all other months and all other things, there's a lot of people that want to honor certain people. If you, and I guess this is a quiz, in your mind, if you had to come up with a person, a national person, a national, international, local person that you would want to be honored during Women's History Month, who would it be? Let me start off with, how about you, Bruce?
No, don't start with me. I'm still thinking.
let's about the thing, Michael. Who would you want to be? Who would you want to be celebrated with Supreme Honor?
I would probably go with Madam C.J. Walker.
Okay.
She was the first self-made female millionaire in the United States of America. So I think that's something, you know, to make any woman proud. I think I would go with Madam C.J. Walker.
Okay. What about you, Darius?
I was trying to think. And it's a shame that I don't know her name, and this may be reason why she should be honored. The lady who just died, who was a member of the space program,
right.
Who they did the movie Figures.
From Hidden Figures. That's right.
Hidden Figures, right? She just passed away, and I
no
think,
pun intended. That title is there.
Yeah. So I think that would be a. That would be a good person, a good woman to honor.
I think so, too, because, you know, I agree with both of you, and I think all women should be, but I think for her, it was no one really knew much about her until the movie really came out, and she just passed,
right.
But she would be a role model for other young ladies who would want to go that direction, because it seems like a lot of women are going science now. So, but anyway, what about you, Jeremiah? Who would you like to see honored to a woman?
I got a few that came through my mind. Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Okay.
Are you thinking about it? When we come back?
Oh, you know, I said Amelia Earhart, but you know, she was one of the first female pilots a long time ago. And also Betty Friedman.
Right. So. I think that's what Michael said.
So that's why
right.
Amelia Earhart.
Okay.
And down here in Miami, they have a school named after her as well.
Okay. I think there are several things across the United States named after her. All right. So
Dave, evidently I got one chance. You weren't coming back to me, so I'm going to butt in and tell you, why do we have to just look at the United States? I mean, I'm proud of all of us that have been on the cutting edge of so many things, but how about Mother Teresa? I'm one that tends to think that a lot of the human advancements that have been mind-boggling and super influential in the world come out of just common day kindness and things that she did, not a vast scientific discovery, as important as those are. But let's not lose track of those other kinds of miracles as well.
Right. I agree with you. That name came to my mind when I thought about this subject. You know, that was one of the names that came to my mind was Mother Teresa. Only because she spent a lot of time working in the streets, helping people, you know, on a daily basis. She was out there feeding and taking care, and without, you know, who are you or nothing like that. It was, you need help, here's some help. And I like people to do that. But I also think that...
Excellent choice.
Okay.
Yes.
I also think that with all of us as men, this is a good time for us to honor our mothers and wives and sisters. It's Women History Month, and all of our families are making history for all of us. So for as men, I make a suggestion that this is a good time for some brownie points. And this is like a flower day or take out the dinner day, because I'm going to honor you with Women's History Month. Let me honor you. I'm just throwing that out there. What are your thoughts on that piece, Jeremiah?
Absolutely. you know, when you said about honoring women this month, my mom came to my mind. So, you know, she's very important to me. Very, very important. And I would absolutely agree, you know. I don't want to say too much. I don't want to get emotional here, so I'll leave it at that.
Wow. All right. So, also, there are a lot of women out there that we are not aware of that have done a lot of things. And with that, you know, there's school. I mean, you know, who's the, you know, number one woman in your state? Most people don't know that in terms of education rather than politics. We seem to, the press seem to bombard us with politics more than the good stuff. So, but anyway,
mm-hmm.
It's Women's History Month. So let's move on. Let's talk about what you guys want to talk about. Okay, so let's go with Bruce. I like Bruce because he always has the good, and I get a lot of comments about Bruce. Bruce has a good following of people who take Bruce. So Bruce,
oh, thanks.
Tell me, let's talk about something you want to talk about.
What's on my mind? I can't seem to get away from the political side of things, which we talk about way too much. So forcing myself to do that is we all as men, as you said, since that's what we're trying to represent here, our point of view, our voice, is we just have to be more proactive. And I try to set that example, be more proactive in just doing kind things, saying kind things, recognizing kind thing, you know, that can be a powerful way to be a leader. Even if you think you're doing a good job now, try and do it even better. And I think we'd be amazingly far more advanced in helping each other if we did that.
All right.
What do you guys think of that?
I think it's a wonderful point, because if we stop viewing things from a world perspective, like what can the world, you know,
right.
How can the world be better? How can we be more civil? How can we get along better? If we look at it individually, as individuals, like as a man, what can I do today, you know, to show some sort of kindness or to show a willingness to help or extend a hand to someone. If we look at it that way, then as a whole, you know, the world will become a better place. So I like that, Bruce.
And thank you. And it can be something just simple off the cuff. Give you an example. I do this more times than I can count. You know, almost all doors now are sensor and open by themselves, open a door, okay, in a major supermarket. Sit there in front of a lady coming in, put my foot in, open the door and say, let me get the door for you. And she'll kind of giggle and laugh and say, well, thank you. Well, I'm not really doing anything except recognizing that she should go through that door first before me. Now, that's a very simple, manly kind of thing to do. It doesn't take anything, and you feel good, and she feels good. And that's the end of it. So there's a very simple example of someone can, you know, want to do. Think of those simple examples that we don't expect, and they can have big impact.
All right. Bruce, what about you? Spencer came on the line. Spencer, what is it that you would like to talk about? You got any sports things or anything that we can talk about?
No, not at the moment.
Wow. All right.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait, don't let him off the hook. Hey, Spencer, this is Bruce. You never sang to us. Remember that bet?
Oh.
Well,
ooh.
About the bet, we broke even, didn't we?
What?
I thought we broke even with the Super Bowl.
Oh, no. I told you who was going to win. My team won, and you said that wasn't going to happen. It wasn't the Super Bowl. It was the LSU game.
and we didn't do nothing for the Super Bowl. You said the 49ers are going to win.
No, no, we didn't. Sorry, you can't get off the hook that way. But you're right, my team didn't win, but we did make a bet on it.
What an exercise, those vocal cords.
Yeah.
This is going to be good. I've heard this voice before. You guys are
saying anything you want, voice. Anything you want.
I don't have anything. Right now, my... my throat is very I'm scratchy right now. I'm not going to be able to sing.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. We'll go for that this week, but next week for sure you have to sing, and it has to take at least more than 60 seconds.
Yeah. Dave, you have influence on him, don't you? A little bit.
Oh, you would think, but I don't know about that. But okay, so we'll let that slide for this week. But next week, sure, you got 60 seconds to. Well, let me put it this way: if I say next week, then you probably will try to sneak out. But I'm going to say the next time you come live on the air, you have 60 seconds. At minimum of 60 seconds. Now, if you know, you can sing "Happy Birthday" or anything. You know, just as long as you do it.
Mary had a little one. You could sing that.
Mary
had
a little one.
You could sing it. Sing it.
Okay. Yeah, singing and not rapping is two different things.
Yeah, that's right.
No. Singing is rapping nowadays.
No.
Pardon?
No.
Not rapping nowadays.
Not for us. We have to hold a tune.
Spencer,
you hold a tune.
You're representing. You're representing men right now, so that this is showing that you have to. If you bet something on somebody and you need to step
right.
up and take
well, it. Well said, David. Well said.
Yeah.
Put that in there.
Anyway, okay, Spencer. So we'll wait for that. But in the meantime, let me go to Darius. Tell us what is on your mind that you would like to talk about.
I know Bruce said we were trying to stay away from this, but this is something that really troubles me, and I'm just wondering how is this happening. I noticed that in the Democratic primary, it just seems like every single candidate is leaning toward socialism. And I guess the question that I have to put forth, and I'd love to ask one of the candidates this, is if America is one of the youngest countries on the earth and most powerful at the same time, and it's been done through a system of capitalism, why would they constantly want to compare us to other countries and try to take up policies of countries who have failed or who are far less rich and powerful than we are? It's like if I took over the job as an NFL commissioner and I said, you know what, I think we need to look at the AFL and policies they have. I mean, the AFL is bankrupt. They're no longer in existence. So I want to know what intrigues socialism or socialist policies.
Darius,
not everybody at once. Just you guys take turns.
Okay, I can kind of speak to that a little bit. Maybe I'm the lone liberal on the phone right now I'm clearly a Bernie supporter, so I'll try to answer that question. I think the media blows out of proportion when they say socialism. He's a democratic socialist, okay? He's not talking about being Venezuela or one of these countries or Cuba. That's not what he's talking about. He's just talking about certain government responsibilities, certain things that we are just, as American citizens, we should be afforded, that the government should step in and help those who cannot be helped, okay? Corporate socialism doesn't seem to upset the far right or the right wing at all. I mean, we subsidize all the big Fortune 500 companies. Okay, that's okay, but when it comes down to subsidizing the poor and less needy, oh, it's a problem. How dare we do that? So I think that's what Bernie is saying when he's saying democratic socialism. Certain things like health care. As Americans, we're the wealthiest country on this earth. There's nothing wrong with us giving health care to all our citizens. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Having a living wage. There's nothing wrong with everyone having a right to pay their rent and put gas in their car if they go to work every day. There's nothing wrong with that. So, to just, like I said, answer it in the best way I possibly can, I think that's my answer, that the media blows out of proportion when they say socialism. They're not breaking it down and explaining exactly what the guy's talking about. He's not talking about Venezuela. He's not talking about Cuba. He's not talking about turning us into Russia. That's not what he's talking about. So there's my answer.
All right.
Okay, so... that's a very good explanation. I guess I heard you say a couple of times a right to health care, a right to a living wage, a right to pay. Okay, I think we differ in our definition of rights. See, a right is something that you can have that doesn't infringe upon the rights of someone else. So when you say I have a right to health care, that means you have a right to something else that someone else possesses. So then you're infringing on their rights. So if I'm a mechanic and you say I have a right to have my car fixed, then that means you're infringing upon my rights to earn to set my salary and my wages, because now I have to fix your car. A doctor is going to be required to render care and his services to me, regardless of what he feels his rates should be. You know, Bernie Sanders or the government wants to set his salary, wants to set his rate, wants to cap his earning potential, wants to tell him who to see and when to see them. So when we use the word rights, we have to understand the only rights we have, really true rights, are the rights that were afforded to us by God, which is, you know, freedom, the pursuit of happiness. You got the freedom to move about for life, liberty, you know, the air you breathe. Those are your freedoms. You're not entitled to a home. You're not entitled to a car. You're not entitled to a wage. You earn a wage.
Okay,
so
well,
these,
first
I guess
of all,
these are the differences. These are the things that I don't really grasp. I'm trying to, I honestly am, but I don't really grasp that concept.
Okay, let me. Very good point, and I totally hear your point. My question would be to start it off is, which rules are we going by? Are we going by the rules of God, or are we going to go by the rules of the Constitution? So I can further this conversation, because the right always does that. They like to kind of mix them up. The only right we have is the right of God. Well, no, I have the right to pursuit of happiness under the Constitution. So which rules are we going to go by here before I go forward?
Okay. Well,
are we going by the Constitution,
you know,
or are we going by the rules of the Bible?
Yeah, they're not they're
oh,
both the same.
Separate
there's
church and
duality.
State in this country. Remind you
no,
of that.
No,
we
no,
separate
that's,
church and
that's
state.
No, that's a difference. It's a duality. The founding fathers said the Constitution was written as inspired by God. So that's why
okay.
they talk
so
about
So we're going to go by the rules
so,
of God or the Constitution? I just want to know
no,
which rules are we going by here?
It's a duality.
It can't be a duality. It's either or. Either we're going by the rules of the Constitution, which means that it says I have the right to freedom of speech, I have the right to pursue happiness. So which rules are we going
right.
by here?
Those are all God-given rights. See, the
no,
concept,
I
the founding
totally
fathers,
disagree
believe,
with
the
that.
The founding, can, all right, let me. Well, then you have to disagree with the founding fathers, who said that the Constitution were words inspired by God, and they said, hold on. The founding fathers said that these rights, these inalienable rights, were given to us by our Creator. So, if you disagree with that, then you have to disagree with the authors of the Constitution.
Okay, so one of those rights is I have the right to pursue happiness, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, I can't pursue happiness if the doctor or someone tells me, well, I'm not going to pay you enough money to be happy to pay your rent and pay your light bills. I'm only going to pay you $8 an hour for your 40 hours worth of labor a week you're giving to me. I can't be happy with that. I can't pursue happiness like that. But I have a right to pursue happiness, though. So, yeah, the government should step in and make sure that I get that right to pursue happiness by raising the minimum wage. Yeah.
No, you could. No, you don't have. The government
Good
doesn't
point.
Give you that right. You have the right to pursue a higher wage. That's where your freedom
where
comes
you,
in. You're not,
yeah.
No, you're not, the government is not met.
Yeah, but
the
I can pursue it all day. It's not there. It's not there.
Well,
I can pursue
yeah,
it
cut,
till my
wheels
fall off.
You're cutting me off, though. I mean, the government
Sorry,
is not mandating
apologies.
That you receive. Yeah, that's okay. The government's not mandating that you receive $8 an hour. They're not saying
They're
that
not.
This is it. You have the freedom to get $8 an hour, $25 an hour, $800 an hour, $8 million an hour. So that's where your freedom comes in. That's where your liberty comes in. Your liberties are not saying you have a right to – I have a right to demand something from someone else. I demand you give me $15 an hour. Now you're infringing on someone else's freedoms. No, the freedom says you have the right to earn as much or as little as you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I call nice try. I would just say nice try. That was a very nice try. But,
yeah,
I have the freedom to go jump off of the bridge and start flying tomorrow. But if I can't do it, I just can't do it. Okay, if I can't get that, I have the freedom to get that $1 million, but if I can't, it's not there, it's just not there. If $8 is what's there, $8 is what's there.
Yeah, so nobody should just work for anybody, just work for yourself.
Okay, I still need startup capital for that. You're going to need startup money for that. The bank won't give me a loan, but, you know,
yeah.
And Bernie Sanders sets it up, the bank will have to give me that loan to start that business up.
Well, but, hey, guys, I agree with – whoever said you have the right to go after it. You
that, was
have
Michael,
the,
that was Michael. Jump, that was Michael.
Michael. You don't have the right to demand a certain amount of financial support from others because where does it end? Pursuit of happiness for one person, as I think was implied, could be I've got a roof over my head and I've got 3 meals a day, that's all I want, I'm happy. And others might be, I need a $1 million mansion, so for me to be happy, you've got to give me more money. Where does that end? It was never defined as you have the right to get money from someone else until my level of happiness is reached. No, you have the right to earn, as was said earlier. And if you don't want to take the ability to find a way to earn it, and you can identify unfairness along the way, but it still doesn't change it into should not change it into a welfare program where you just get the money for no effort. That's not fair.
Okay, this is Michael. I agree with you 100%, Bruce. I agree with you 100%. The Bernie support. I'm the Bernie supporter. I agree with that. 100%. I agree with you on that. But Bernie's point is let's have the conversation and talk about this. It's going to be some wrinkles that need to be ironed out. I agree. But let's have the conversation. The far right doesn't even want to have the conversation because the socialism applies to them and all their buddies. They're cool with it. With the Wall Street boys, as long as they're getting their socialism, it's all good. So they don't want to talk about it.
Michael,
the point I'm making and Bernie's making is let's at least talk about it.
Michael, right back at you. Wouldn't it be exciting, and I agree with that, wouldn't it be exciting if we could have a true debate, and you guys have heard me talk about, these aren't debates that the Republicans and Democrats have when they're trying to get elected. They're a show. Wouldn't it be great to have a real debate on TV and in the public eye of socialism versus or whatever kind of socialism you want to call it, our version of socialism and capitalism?
Exactly.
I would love that.
I would love that, and I guarantee you Bernie Sanders would eat Donald Trump alive in that regard.
I might take that bet.
Well, we're probably going to get it because I think Bernie's going to be our nominee, so we just might get that opportunity. And, hey, guys, I want to say I just saw that Pete Buttigieg dropped out of the race just now, so
that's
going to help me a lot. Yeah,
wow.
It just flashed across my screen, so – that's clearly putting Bernie one step closer.
Who's next? Elizabeth Warren?
That's crazy, David. I asked you about Pete.
No, I think Bloomberg's next. Bloomberg's next, for sure.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, Bloomberg's next.
Well,
yeah,
Steyer,
get out of here.
Steyer dropped out yesterday as well, right?
Yeah, Steyer dropped out. Steyer dropped out. So it's down to the real players who are Bernie, Warren, and Biden.
And without any clearer definition, I'm not taking sides on this comment, but without any clearer definition of what our version of socialism in this country we think it is, without that, Bernie's lunch will be eaten by Trump, not the other way around. And I'm just saying that as an observation. People don't understand what socialism is, and if his version is truly different, he's got to explain that better, other than just saying, I'm going to give you this and that and everything else for free, because that's not an explanation. That's just a promise that I don't think he can keep.
And he's got to explain still how much it's going to cost and how we're going to pay for it. That's something he is yet to
right.
be able to articulate.
That's right.
I can kind of explain that one a little bit. Like I said, I'm no expert, but from what it seems like Bernie is saying is that he wants to tax the 1%. Those Wall Street boys, they got more than enough money to help cover this tab here. We could stop sending so much money overseas to Israel and all these other countries. We can cut that Pentagon budget down quite a bit, because $700 billion is a lot of money for defense when second to us is Russia and they're spending $300 billion. So we could definitely cut a hole in that Pentagon budget. So the money's there. It's definitely there.
Okay. All right, Michael. This is Darius again. The entire budget of the United States, every single dime, is $4 trillion a year.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie is telling you on the low scale that his thing is going to cost $30 trillion on the low end. So please explain to me, I don't know how much, and even the whole U.S. economy is around $30 trillion, everything. So
I don't
know those are the exact numbers, so I don't want to defend it, so I'm going to pass on that one.
Since
you don't know, then for the sake of argument, just humor me, please. All right, so if you took every dollar from every billionaire in America, not tax them a percentage, I'm saying every dime, you would still be short by about $20 trillion of what Bernie Sanders is talking about. And then not only that, you have to think about, is this sustainable? Because not only are you going to be short $20 trillion this year, you got next year, the year after, the year after. And you have to understand, the more you take, then the less wealth you have as a country. That's why socialism fails everywhere. Because the more you take from the earners, then your wealth decreases. And pretty soon, there's nothing left. It'll collapse under itself. And so I'm not totally opposed to what he's talking about, everything. I just need to know how is it going to work and how is America going to remain prosperous. And Bernie Sanders has yet been able to articulate that to anybody. He cannot do that.
Hello?
And I would agree with what was just said. This is Bruce. But I would add one other thing. Let's just say for the moment, we had enough money to pay for all of this. Nobody has to work. Nobody has to do anything. We'll just pay you. Like you said, it's diminishing. It can collapse under its own weight. Would we really want to create a nation where nobody has any incentive to do anything? How long would we last?
But see, I don't think the incentive is going away. I don't think Bernie's trying to take away the incentive. And what I'm hearing you say is, should we really create an even playing field? That's all Bernie's trying to do, is create an even playing field.
If you're taking money from somebody else, and if you're penalizing people who've been successful, that's not evening the playing field. You're actually redistributing wealth. You're taking somebody else's money and redistributing to the have-nots, which is fine, but eventually, I think it was Margaret Thatcher that says, other people's money is good until you run out. And
I know.
That's what will eventually happen. You're going to run out of rich people. You're talking about 1% taking care of 99%? Just
okay, we're not
going
to run out of rich people. We're
going
to create
more
rich people because you're giving more people an opportunity to get to the top. So we're not going to run out of rich people. We're going to create more rich people.
But, Michael, they're not incentivized because they know once they get to the top, Bernie's going to take 70% of their wealth.
Why do you want to be a billionaire? That was a talking point.
We don't know that it's going to be 70%. You just made that number
up.
Be honest.
No, Bernie said.
No, he didn't
say
he's taking 70% from the top earners.
What did he say? From billionaires?
Like I said, I don't know the numbers to be exact, but I know it wasn't 70%. I'm thinking he said more like. I'm sorry, but it wasn't 70%.
Hang on, let me
say something else to your point. The thought when you say about America, we're taking something. Yeah, the thought of America taking something from people, when it's the people at the top, it's a problem. America's been taking from people since America's been founded. We took people from another continent and made them slaves. Okay, America always takes, but when it comes time to take from the 1%, oh, how dare we do that?
All right.
I think I have to disagree with the premise. That's a big a lie around the world about America taking. America gives more than any other country in this world. America has shed more lives, more blood, more money, more fortune than any other country in this world. America is responsible for lifting more people out of poverty and freeing more people than any other country in this world. All the medical advances, technological advances, the charity, all of that comes from America. So people always like to say that they take. America gives more. Basically, someone said America is the only country that has obtained more power and abused it less. We're not going out and creating imperialism. America doesn't free people and then go raise a flag. America doesn't take over territories and demand that they pay taxes to the king. When America goes and helps out another country, they do it at a loss, and they reap nothing in return for it. So that's a big misconception that America takes.
I think Canada would probably agree with you on that one, because Canada says the same thing. Go ahead. Who was that?
I have some numbers here that I have printed out Friday. Of everybody's tax plan, and what I have on Bernie Sanders, and this is from CNN actually, that he would if you make over $10 million, he's going to tax you 52%. On top of that, he also wants a wealth tax, what he calls extreme wealth, and if you make above $10 billion, there'll be an 8% tax on that, which equals to 60% of someone's wealth if you make $10 billion or more. So
that's incredible. You still have to. We're gonna be right back up to that 70% that I said.
I can't really hear you.
Then
number one is not the 70% that the guy said is clearly not the 70%.
I was just being quiet, but I was just saying when you include state taxes, that puts you right back up to what I said. They're going to be taxed at 70%.
All right.
I mean, David, are you open to that?
Yes.
Okay, because I don't know. Somebody with us on the line today, somebody has more than $10 billion and we don't know about it.
Yeah, I want
to. Because they're so objective to this, that it just makes me feel like, you're a billionaire. You're a trillionaire.
Yeah,
This is Darius. It's not that I'm a billionaire, but what it is I'm against taking anything from anybody. If I have $100, you're not entitled to $70, Jeremiah or Michael. If I have, if all I have is $5,000, you're not entitled to
$3,500. I'm not taking 70% of your $100 now. They once again.
Exactly.
That's right.
Well,
I'm taking
70%
of your $10 billion. Now, to me, just address that there won't be an incentive for people to get rich anymore. That's not true. There may not be an incentive for this broke guy to get to $10 billion, but there's still an incentive for him to get to $10 million, which will get him out of poverty. So that just debunks the whole there'll be no more incentive to want to get rich mentality. Of course there'll still be incentive to want to get rich.
So then why?
Just maybe
so
not to
$10
billion, but if I make it to $1 billion, hey, I'm good.
Well, okay, if that's the case, then why are there more millionaires and billionaires here than there are in any of the socialist countries that Bernie Sanders is always talking
about? Well, that's a layup answer. It's because the rules, the socialism only goes towards the 1%, so they keep the rules skewed in their favor. That was an easy answer.
No, that's not true, though.
Billionaires run the country.
I don't know. No, it's because of capitalism. It's because you have an incentive to get rich. That's why capitalism works. That's why we create more wealth than any other country in the world. You create wealth because of capitalism, because you incentivize it. There aren't a whole bunch of millionaires and billionaires in socialist countries because there's no incentive to get rich. You're not going to do something or develop a product, a good, or a service if you know the government is going to take it.
Yeah, but that's not what Bernie wants to do. He doesn't want to take your idea. He just wants to tax you once you make it to $10 billion off of your idea.
Darius.
Yes, I'm
Darius.
Here. I'm here. Yes.
I got two questions in my mind. Let me see the best way to answer this. But ask you this, but what's the richest person you've ever been around? How much money you say they've had? Like, you know, the richest person you've been around. And you've seen their assets and luxurious lifestyle.
The richest person I was around was an NFL football player. He was a very good friend of mine. And at the time, he was worth about $20
million. $20 million. Okay. And he had a residual income of $20 million, just his net worth of $20 million.
No, of course not. He didn't have that kind of contract. That was his net worth after playing 12 years in the NFL.
Okay, throughout his career. Did you ever think in your mind at that time, like, whoa, this guy has, like, a lot of freaking money. Like, he has everything he would want and more. No?
Yeah, I did think that, yeah.
So why we can't give more people that opportunity? Because let's just say this guy who owns Facebook, you know, you made this invention, you know, not saying that it's everybody else's money, but we all use it. We helped you get rich. All the people who use Facebook every day, you know, you were the ultimate creator, but also the people who live in the United States, they help you get rich as well. So what's the problem if you're taxed a little bit higher than someone else?
No, it's not that you should be higher. It's that you – okay, I'm a business owner, been one. So let me tell you this.
I am too.
When you're
go ahead.
Okay, so when you do that, you are the one who are responsible for – raising capital. You're the one who are responsible for footing the bill, for making the sacrifices. So you may have to mortgage your home, do it. You may have to sacrifice your kids' college fund. You may have to sacrifice going hungry, not eating, not being able to make payroll. You make all of those sacrifices. So you make all of those sacrifices. You miss time at home with your family. You know, you miss trips. Your other friends are going to go play golf or fishing or partying and clubbing, and you're sacrificing to make your business work. And then your business works, and it takes off, and it's a success. And then everybody has their hand out now and say, hey, we're buying your product or we're buying your service or goods, so you owe us. No, you don't. So when I made the question about $100 or $5,000 or even $10, if you earn that $10, it's yours. No one else is not entitled to it. And that's what I have a problem with. It's not a matter of how much. Because if you think about it, in America, all of us have, like Bernie Sanders said, no one should be a billionaire. That's crazy to me. No one should be a millionaire, if you want to say that, or a 100,000-aire, because we all have more than what we need, really, in America. Most of us do. Most of us, if we live in a house with 3 bedrooms and it's just 2 of us, we have more than what we need. You know, if we have more than 1 car, we have more than what we need. So that's not the question. The question is, who gets to play God and determine how much is enough?
All right, guys.
And I don't want to put that decision in the hands of government.
Hold on. Okay, guys, I have to bring it to a close. We only got
15 seconds left, but I want to thank those that are listening. Well, 10 seconds. I want to thank those that were listening, and we'll be back next week to pick up on this. Panel, you guys did good tonight. We'll be back next week, and we'll hear Spencer sing his song. Until then, have a great
That's right.
Go Caves,
you guys all have a good week, everyone. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Hey, gentlemen, Michael, right. Appreciate you guys.
Talk to you next week, guys.
Yep. It's all about the U, baby.
Have a good week, guys.
All about the U.